the past few weeks have been hot in Philadelphia, muggy. It's sort of like a rainforest, a foul-smelling rainforest. Maybe nobody has experienced that more than Ernest Rouse.
Oh yeah, I'm on top of the double-decker bus in the sun in 93 degrees.
Rouse works on one of those open-air sightseeing buses, pointing out the city's historical charms to tourists. They're not paying to see him sweat.
If you eat right, you drink right, use the right deodorant, you ain't got to worry about sweat.
Rouse may have his method figured out, but for the rest of the species, sweat is a necessary nuisance. So in these dog days of summer, we asked Pulse reporter Tanya English to look into the evolutionary science and psychology behind perspiration.
Bring your arms up over your head, interlock 10 fingers, turn to the right.
The fact that you pay money to spend 90 minutes in a super hot room, working out next to a dozen other half-dressed people drenched in body fluid, that's a little ridiculous to me.
You want sweat dripping from your elbows to your knees to your toes. Hold still and release.
Laura Markevich owns Drip 105 Hot Yoga in Central Pennsylvania.
So it is 105 degrees in here and it's around 40% humidity.
Markevich says clients want her to make them sweat because modern people with our air-conditioned cars and express elevators don't have a lot of built-in chances to exert ourselves.
Back in the old days, men would go out and work all day and they'd come home soaking wet, provide for their families because they worked so hard. So it's kind of like this manifestation of our hard work, right? That's why we like sweat.
That kind of sweat is all about thermoregulation. When your temperature creeps too far above 98.6 degrees, the body's cooling system kicks on. Sweat glands send perspiration to the surface of the skin, and heat comes with it. Then evaporation draws that heat away from the body, leaving a film of cooler sweat behind. Perspiration is mostly water, plus a little salt and trace minerals. Hot yoga teacher Laura Markevich says it's pretty clean.
It doesn't have a stink, a body odor.
The perspiration that we work hard for comes from one type of sweat gland. They're called eccrine glands, and they're located all over the body, back of the knees, the forehead, even in your ears. And there's a theory that our ability to sweat gives humans an evolutionary advantage. Imagine your ancestors hunting down an antelope out on the African savanna. Sweat let them stay cool without having to stop, find shade, or pant like a dog.
We were able to actually run our prey down. And so, you know, our endurance in the middle of the day when other animals have to rest maybe served us in getting our food.
Angela Ballard is a nurse educator with the International Hyperhidrosis Society. She helps people deal with uncontrollable excessive sweat. The average person, just sitting around, loses as much as 32 ounces of sweat a day. That's enough to fill a big gulp cup. Ballard says, different from the rest of us, elite athletes start sweating sooner because their bodies are more efficient at keeping cool. So that's one kind of sweat. But there's a second kind of perspiration that we talk about less.
Get four times the protection against stress sweat with Secret Clinical Strength. Stress stinks. Stress sweat doesn't have to.
Stress sweat fuels a multi-billion dollar antiperspirant and deodorant industry.
It's thicker, it's milkier, and it's more of our fight or flight or stress sweat.
Nurse educator Angela Ballard says that kind of sweat comes from apocrine glands, which are clustered in hairy parts of the body. All sweat starts out odorless, but when it's trapped in our armpits and down in our nether regions, it's hard for perspiration to evaporate, and it's that mixture of moisture and bacteria on the skin that can create a funk. But back when we were cave dwellers, BO had a purpose.
And may have helped warn our, you know, clan mates around us that there was something to be scared of, like you could smell fear.
Instead of being triggered by temperature, apocrine glands are activated by embarrassment and anxiety, hormones and emotions. Think back to the Republican primaries. Donald Trump suggested that Senator Marco Rubio's sweatiness said something about his ability to lead.
Did you ever see a guy sweat like Rubio? I've never seen anything like
that. I do think that there's a cultural stereotype there. When we see someone sweating, it means that they're losing their cool. Literally.
That's psychologist Carissa Perry Parrish. She sees people at the Center for Sweat Disorders at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. Her patients have conditions that require prescription medicine or even surgery just so they can get through the day.
Like a police officer having a hard time holding on to her firearm because of hand sweating.
Or an elementary student whose classmates won't hold hands to play Ring Around the Rosie because his hands are clammy. Perry Parrish helps her clients deal with the psychological burden of being sweaty all the time. It's a feeling she really understood the last time she went to the farmer's market in 100-degree weather.
And I had sweat rolling down my back. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so gross. So imagine feeling like that every day across every social interaction.
Her clients have real issues to deal with, but maybe the rest of us are a little too freaked out about sweat. After all, sweat is absolutely necessary and inevitable, even if you're not planning on hunting down a gazelle today. For The Pulse, I'm Tanya English.